Welcome to Abide's Kids Bedtime Stories. I'm Tyler Boss. Today's story is brought to you by our partners at Life Audio. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Head over to lifeaudio.com now. Remember, you can have full access to all our meditations commercial-free. Just text ABIDE to 22433 for 25% off. All right. It's time to settle into bed and drift off to sleep with this bedtime story.
Hello, and welcome to this sleep story from Abide. I'm Miles. Thanks for joining me tonight for our story about lions and fire and faith. We know from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament that Daniel and his friends, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, you might have heard them called by their Babylonian names, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, were taken from their homeland of Israel into captivity in Babylon. They had a very hard time in Babylon, where several different kings over their lifetime tried to make them turn away from their faith in God. But these young men would have none of that. They were so determined to obey God that they even agreed to eat only vegetables instead of the rich food the king wanted to provide for them. That's something, right? Peas instead of pizza? That's certainly something, all right? Tonight you're going to hear about how God protected all four of these guys from the punishments the king wanted for them just because they wouldn't worship the king or his false gods. There was even one time when the boys refused to bow down to a really big idol, and the king ordered them thrown into a fiery furnace. Oh boy, that's not good. But all three of them said to him, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." That's some faith right there. Even if he does not? They didn't care what the consequences were going to be. They would never worship an idol. And God did save them. There wasn't even a hair on their head that was singed. But before we learn more about Daniel and his friends, settle down into your bed and get really comfortable. Sleep is really important for our minds and our bodies. So I want to help you tonight to sleep really well, knowing that God is faithful to you and will be with you through the night. Now, take slow and deep breaths and make sure all your muscles are loose. Shake out your hands, wiggle your toes, and then make everything still. Now move your head from side to side and then stop. Close your eyes really tightly and then open them before shutting them gently again. Just like that. If you have anything you like to have there with you in bed, make sure it's right where you want it to be. Need a sip of water? Go ahead and get it now. While I'm telling you the story, I want you to keep breathing slowly. If your eyes get heavy and you want to close them, do it. You can just listen to the sound of my voice. I'm going to pray for you now. Dear God, thank you for your faithful followers, Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah. I pray that this friend listening to my voice tonight will know that they can be faithful to you as well, even when things are really hard, or they're tempted to do what other people want them to do instead of what you want them to do. Thank you for being by their side all through the night. Thank you for watching over them that they can sleep in peace. Give them sweet dreams as they trust in you, Lord. Amen. Four friends, Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, were youths living in Jerusalem a long, long, long time ago. Their families were considered leaders in the country, and the boys were smart and healthy and handsome. They really had a lot going for them. But a time came when the evil king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, that's a hard name to say. Let me say it again. Nebuchadnezzar sent his armies in and captured all the people and made them go back to Babylon with them as captives. It was a terrible time for the Israelites. They were being taken away from their homeland, losing all their freedoms, and they were probably pretty scared about what was going to happen to them. But you know what they did know? That God was faithful. All four of these guys knew God, followed God with all of their hearts, and knew that whatever happened to them, God would not leave them. When they got to Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar instructed his head servant to find members of the nobility and royalty among the captains who were good-looking, wise, knowledgeable, and able to learn, because he wanted them to come to the palace and be taught the writings and the language of his people. Well, you might think that this meant that Daniel and his friends were going to have things easy, getting to live in the palace and just have to learn stuff. But what the king actually wanted to do was to make them forget their old life and become like the Babylonians, and that meant forgetting about God. Those picked to come to the palace to learn didn't have a choice, of course. They were captives. They had to do what they were told. And one of the things that they were told is that they had to have new names. The chief servants gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar. Boy, Daniel is a lot easier to say, isn't it? His other friends were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They really didn't like this. Names have a lot of meaning. Daniel's name in Hebrew meant, God is my judge. But his new Babylonian name, Belteshazzar, meant protect the life of the king. All the Babylonian names had something to do with honoring the gods of the Babylonians. How terrible it was for those boys who loved and served Jehovah, the only true God, to be given names honoring the false gods of Babylon. And then, to top it all off, they were told that they had to eat and drink the same stuff the king ate and drank. You might think that's a good thing, but a lot of that food was forbidden by Jewish law. Daniel and his friends didn't know what to do. Finally, Daniel said to the head servant, "Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." And you know what? God honored the faithfulness of Daniel and his friends. After 10 days, they were glowing with good health. The servant had been afraid that King Nebuchadnezzar would be really mad when he saw that the four boys were sickly looking because they weren't eating his rich food. But the very opposite was true. When we follow God's commands and are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. Following what God says is always the best way to do things, even when it might go against what the king is saying to do. Not only were the boys glowing in health, they were the fastest learners, the most knowledgeable, and the most capable of all the other youths. And not only that, but God gave Daniel the special ability to know what certain dreams were and what they meant. That's certainly not something your average person can do. I mean, dreams are really weird sometimes. And how do you even know what someone else's dreams mean? Phew! Daniel really had to be listening closely to God for that. This became very important when one day King Nebuchadnezzar had a really bad dream. He asked all his magicians and men who were supposed to be really wise to tell him what his dream meant. They said, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will show the interpretation." Dreams can be funny, crazy things. So the king knew that if he told his wise men what the dream was, they would just make something up about what it meant. So he told them that he wanted them to tell him first what the dream was, and then what it meant. I know, right? Nobody can tell you what your dream is without you first telling them. That was a crazy order from a frightening king. Well, as you can imagine, the wise men were very upset by this. No one could tell someone else what their dream was. When they said that to the king, he told them that if they couldn't do it, then all the wise men in all of his kingdom would have to die. When the king's servant came to Daniel and his friends to tell them they would be killed and why, Daniel told the servant to take him to the king and he would tell the king what his dream meant. Then he went home to his friends, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and told them to plead with God to give Daniel the dream and its meaning for the king. Well, you might be able to guess what happened. God, who knows everything, told Daniel what the dream was and what it meant. Even though the dream wasn't so good for the king, he was thankful that Daniel had told him what it meant. The king even said, "Truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." He then gave Daniel awards and honors and even promoted him to be over all the wise men in Babylon. Yippee! End of our story, right? Wrong. Although Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael all continued to be faithful to God and God remained faithful to them, they would still have to deal with a barbarian king. It was right after that, and the king saying that Daniel's God was the one true God, that Nebuchadnezzar decided to have this giant golden statue of himself built. He really didn't learn very quickly, did he? So not only did he have the statue built, he told everyone that they had to bow down and worship it. This is what all the people in Babylon were told. "As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of God that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a burning furnace." I bet you can imagine what Daniel and his friends didn't do. This is what some of those wise guys told the king. "But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, our friends Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." So, of course, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were brought before the king. And that's when they said what they said to the king about whether or not God would save them from the fire, and they knew God could save them from the fire, they would never bow down to that big old golden statue. Boy, did that make the king mad. He had his people stoke up the furnace until it blazed 7 times hotter than usual. That's like really hot. But you know what? Next thing the king knew, when he looked into the fire, this is what happened. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisor, "Weren't there 3 men we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Wow. He called the guys to come out, and they walked right out. Their clothes weren't burned. Their hair wasn't singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar said to them. "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. And then he promoted them to even higher positions of authority. Yippee! End of story, right? Of course not, because God still had more he wanted to teach the king of Babylon. Many years later, King Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. God again gave Daniel the ability to interpret his dream. This time, the dream was very bad news for the king, and Daniel was afraid to tell him what it was. But the king insisted. And so Daniel told the king that because Nebuchadnezzar was so proud and wanted all the glory for every good thing that happened, God was going to humble him. The king was going to be made like a wild animal, and he was going to eat grass like a cow. What? That's crazy, right? But within a year, that very thing happened. The Bible tells us Nebuchadnezzar was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. Oh my! King Nebuchadnezzar went from being a mighty king, living in great wealth and an amazing palace, to living like an animal outside in the fields. But that's what it took for the king to see that he had been very proud and hadn't given God any of the glory. He turned from his wicked ways and acknowledged God, and his kingdom was restored to him, and he became king once again. Yippee! End of story, right? Again, wrong. Sorry. Nebuchadnezzar had a son, and when Nebuchadnezzar died, this son, Belshazzar, became the king. One evening, this king gave a very large banquet. While everyone was eating and drinking and having a grand time, he ordered that the gold and silver goblets that his dad had taken from God's temple in Jerusalem should be brought to them so that they could use them. Well, that doesn't sound bad, right? I mean, they were goblets. Like, these fancy cups used for drinking. But the problem was, these cups were special. They were meant only to be used by the priests in Jerusalem. They were used only in God's service. So the Bible tells us, as the people drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Uh-oh. Not a good idea to be praising some false gods when you're drinking from the true God's cup. Next thing you know, there was this hand. Just a hand that stretched out from thin air and wrote something on the wall. As you can imagine, this freaked out the people, especially the king, but they couldn't understand the words that the hand had written. They called in all the experts once again, but no one could tell him what the words meant. So, of course, Daniel to the rescue again. He comes in and he reads the words. Meeny, meeny, tekel, parson. This is what they meant. Meeny, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Parson, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. That very night, Belshazzar died. But, once again, that's not the end of the story. There was yet another king that the faithful Jewish men would have to deal with. His name was Darius. One time, when Daniel was very old, because he always did the right thing, the other counselors to King Darius became jealous of him. He was always being rewarded for good things he did, and they didn't like it. So they convinced the king to make a law that anyone who prayed to any other god besides King Darius would be thrown into a den of lions. Now, lions are pretty cool creatures. They're big and they're soft and cuddly, right? We love to look at them in the zoos and stuff because they look so majestic. And the babies are so cute. Just makes you think of Simba, right? Well, they're pretty cute until they haven't eaten for a few days. Then they kind of get cranky. But, you know, of course, Daniel was not going to pray to anyone but the one true God. So when the jealous men found him praying to God, they told the king. Now, Darius really liked Daniel. He knew he was a good man, so he was sad that he would have to follow through on the law that he made. He didn't think he had any choice, so they took Daniel and they threw him into the den of lions, and Darius said to him, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." King Darius didn't sleep that night because he was so worried about Daniel. So, early the next morning, he ran to the opening of the lion's den and cried out, "Daniel, has your God saved you?" And you know what? Daniel walked right out of that lion's den without a scratch on him. God had shut the mouths of the lions, and they had not harmed him at all. King Darius was very happy that Daniel had been saved. He even made another law that everyone in the kingdom would worship the God of Daniel. And the Bible tells us, "So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Four boys taken from their home, told to worship a foreign god, had grown into four men who were never unfaithful to God, even through four kings who tried their best to get them to do so. And God was never unfaithful to those four men. In all their lives, it was very important that Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah stayed faithful to God in a country that did not worship him at all. Through four different kings, Daniel prospered because he did the right thing. Nebuchadnezzar, his son Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus were all very powerful kings in a country that worshipped every kind of god except Jehovah, the one true God. It was because Daniel and his friends remained faithful followers of Jehovah that they were able to influence those kings and not only survive their years in exile, but prosper in them. It's not easy to always do the right thing. But the other cool thing about God is that He is so gracious. He will forgive your sins and catch you every single time you fall. You can pray and ask God for help when you're tempted to do something wrong. But even if you fail, He will never stop loving you. He will always be there to help you because when you are weak, He is very strong. Daniel and his friends probably were scared a lot of the time, but they never stopped trusting God. Let me pray for you as you sleep tonight. Father God, I pray for this child of yours. As they sleep and dream tonight, may you fill them with peace and joy and with the courage and strength to be faithful to you, even if they are in a place that doesn't honor you. It's not easy to do the right thing when you're being asked to do the wrong thing, or when you might suffer for doing the right thing. So I ask that you would remind them continually of Daniel and his friends and all that they did in a foreign land to remain faithful to you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who makes doing the right thing possible. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is our example every single day. Bless them and keep them, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now as you sleep, know that God is holding you closely. He is closer than your breath as you breathe in and out. God is faithful. Now fall gently asleep, listening to the words of Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of a ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all the living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing their songs of joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness.